There was a chassid of Rav Moshe of Kubrin by the name of Rav Mordechai ben Reb Chaim Leib. Kubrin is in Belarus, and this chassid was once visiting his Rebbe, and he was going back home for Pesach, and the Rebbe said to him, before he left, he said, I want to just ask you a quick question, you know. You're heading back for Pesach, so I'm hoping that you're prepared for Pesach. So he said, Rebbe, you know, I think so, I hope so. The Rebbe says to him, tell me, do you have a good kosher esrog for Pesach? Now, Hasidim have a lot of interesting practices, as those who pay attention to the practices of Rebbes know. But this was a pretty unusual practice, an esrog for Pesach. I mean, there's different segulas, people have all sorts of interesting practices. But to say, did you make sure that you have a nice kosher esrog for Pesach? So this was a little bit beyond anything he had heard before. So he says, Rebbe, you mean matzah? Rebbe must be making a mistake. You must mean matzah. He said, no. Do you have a good kosher esrog for Pesach? Esrog for Pesach? So the Rebbe said to him, he said, we know from the Medrash that the Dalet Minim correspond to various parts of the body. We know that the Hadasim correspond to the eyes, and the Aravos correspond to the lips, the Lulav corresponds to the spine, and the Esrog corresponds to the heart. So the Rebbe, you know, stroked his chassid on the cheek and he said, I meant what I said. Make sure you have a good kosher esrog for Pesach. Make sure your heart's in the right place for Pesach. The Jew has to make sure his heart's in the right place for Pesach. Because on Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to spend time with us. And I'm going to try to explain tonight, just in very simple, simple words. I'm going to share some things that even I've shared, I know for a fact, with some of you in the past. But I want to just try to understand what it's like to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu come and visit us on Pesach. Because that's what it is. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu coming to visit us. Now Shabbos is a taste of a world beyond this world, where we go to visit a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell Bnei Yisrael I have a present for them. Yesh li matana tova bebeis genazai. I have a special treasure in my storage house, in my treasure chest. Leich v'hodiyem, go tell the Jews about it. And the Svarim HaKadoshim explain, what that means is not that Hashem was offering to give it to Moshe to deliver it to Klal Yisrael. I have a special treasure. It's in my chamber where I keep my most secret possessions. Go tell the Jews. Go tell them what? Go tell them, catch a glimpse. They're invited up to me on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we go to visit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Yom Tov, in general, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit us. But perhaps there's no Yom Tov. Chanukah, in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really comes down into low places with us. But probably the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most interested to see what's doing by us, what does our house look like, what does our life look like, is the Yom Tov of Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit us. This Shabbos, Shabbos HaGadol, helps us to get ready. Shabbos HaGadol is a big gift. It's a Shabbos. Shabbos is always called a gift. It's Shabbos HaGadol. It's a specially big gift. And if we think about what happened on Shabbos HaGadol and why we call it Shabbos HaGadol, I think we'll begin to understand that invitation that we're offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come and visit us on Pesach. Why is Shabbos HaGadol called Shabbos HaGadol? So there's many, many explanations. Many, many explanations. I would say probably the most pashut pshat is that if you look in the Haftorah from this Shabbos, the Haftorah from the Navi Malachi, it says, Hine anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyahu Navi lifnei bo yom Hashem ha-gadol va-hanora. So it's Shabbos ha-gadol. Very often a Shabbos is named or a Parsha is named based on the Kriyas HaTorah. So the Haftorah says it ends off in the words gadol va-hanora. But we don't call it Shabbos ha-gadol v'Shabbos ha-hanora. We call it Shabbos ha-gadol. So what's so great about this Shabbos? So if you look in source number one on the page in front of you, we'll learn from the Torah, Rav Yaakov ben Asher, the son of the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, 13th century, and he writes in Simen Tav Lamed, he tells us where Shabbos HaGadol came from. So let's look inside. Source number one, Shabbos Shelefnei HaPesach Korin Oso Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol, the great Shabbos. V'atam Lefi Shenasa Bo Nes Gadol, and the reason it's called Shabbos HaGadol is because a great miracle happened on this Shabbos. This was the Shabbos that we made a significant decision in our life, which would pave the way for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kidichsiv be'asur lachodesh hazev v'yichu lahem ish sel lebeis avos sel lebayis. The Jewish people decided to take the carbon Pesach, like we spoke about last week, to take the god of the Egyptians, the Toleh, to hold it hostage for a series of days, eventually to shecht it, to barbecue it, to eat it. Again, everything we learned last week in the Chizkuni, the unbelievable encouragement that Hashem gave us. U'pesach sheyatzu Yisrael mi'mitzrayim hayu b'yom hay. When the Jews actually left Mitzrayim, that was on a Thursday. Which means that Yud b'chodesh hayu b'shabbos. That means the day that the Jews started making their final preparations for their trip out of Mitzrayim was on Shabbos. And to take the Egyptian god and to bring it into your property and to have the Egyptians not start up with you, not respond to you kidnapping their god, that's a big nes. That's a Shabbos Haggadah. This was a big Shabbos. V'lachu lahem kol echad sel l'pischo. And every Jew helped himself. He took a carbon Pesach. And just look at the next four words. V'kasher oso b'kirei mitaso. And he tied it to the kirei mitaso, to the legs of his bed. The Jewish people took the carbon Pesach, brought it to their bedroom, and tied it. Now again, I can't imagine the Jews had, you know, so many rooms in their simple homes in Mitzrayim, and their bedroom was probably also their kitchen and their living room and their study, you know, and the den. I imagine it was all one room, but it's an unusual lashon. They took the car, they couldn't bring it and tie it to, I don't know, to the door. They couldn't tie it to a post outside their house. They brought it into their house and they tied it to the foot of their bed. V'sholom ha-mitzrim, and the mitzrim came and asked, Lama zeh lachem, what are you doing with our gods? V'yishivu l'shachto l'shem pesach b'mitzvos Hashem aleinu. We plan in a couple of days to slaughter your god in fulfillment of what our god told us to do. Vayushinehem keos al sheshochten es Eloheim. And their teeth were blunted, right? Like we say about the Russia, hakeyes shinov in the Seder. The Egyptians, they were, you know, you could see them clenching their teeth as they saw that we were preparing to slaughter their gods. V'lo hayurishayim lomer lahem davar. But they also knew that they couldn't start up with Klal Yisrael at this point. There was no way for them to respond. And it's because of this that it's called Shabbos HaGadol. That we had the courage to take the Egyptian god, tie it to our bedpost, and the Egyptians were not able to start up with us. But again, I want to ask you a simple question. I get the imagery of taking their god. The same way that Hashem, when he afflicted the Egyptians, he struck the Nile first. They worshipped the Nile. Hashem turned it to blood. Hashem goes, when Hashem wants to fight, he goes, you know, for a knockout punch. But why? Why take the little shepsela, take the little goat, and tie it to the bedpost? It's a little unusual, no? I mean, imagine. That means the Jews, for the next couple of days, they slept with this little sheep tied to their bed. We learned last week, the Chizkuni says, the little sheep was crying out in the night, looking for its master. So the Jews probably didn't sleep very well for those couple of nights. What exactly was Chazal explaining? What exactly was this tradition that we have that they tied the sheep to the bedpost? So I saw a really beautiful explanation. And it really goes to the core of what it means to be a Jew. And it helps us to understand, again, the invitation that we're extending to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Seder night. The explanation comes from a Sefer called the Beis Yitzchak in source number 3, Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes. Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes was a great posek, lived in the 19th century. The Shailus and Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak was his magnum opus in Halacha. But we also have some of his writings on Chumash and other areas of Torah as well. He was a Rav in Lvov in Lemberg. And he said, maybe you could offer the following explanation. What makes Jews different? What makes our relationship with God and religion different than maybe some other religions? And he went on to explain, it's the wholesomeness of what it means to be a Jew. There are some people who think being religious, and unfortunately there's Jews who think this way, that being religious means that there are places where I serve Hashem. So where do I serve God? I serve Hashem in Shul. I serve Hashem in the Beis Medrash. Right? There are certain places where I go if I want to have a relationship with God. But there are other places which is my personal space. I'm entitled to a little personal space. So I have my house. What I do in my house, that's my private business. I don't need Hashem hanging out so much in my house. When I want to talk to God, I'll go meet up with God in Shul. I'll go to the synagogue. Lahavdol, I'll go to my church. Right? I'll go to a place where I can encounter God, my monastery, Lahavdol. Right? But Hashem, like, I don't need you hanging out in my living room when I want to sit and just watch a ball game. Hashem, I don't need you monitoring my kitchen. I don't need God following me into the bathroom. And I don't need Hashem. It's a little creepy. I don't need you in my bedroom. So we dafka said Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, said the great Beis Yitzchak, 19th century in Lemberg, the great Posek, he says it could be that that's maybe what Chazal are saying. When we took the Karban Pesach and we brought it where? We brought it into our bedroom. We brought it into our private quarters. As if to say, we know what it means to be a Jew. Being a Jew is a wholesome experience. Wherever I go, I take a Kodesh Baruch Hu with me. Hashem is not only found in certain places. He writes in the fourth line. He says in source number 3, the middle of the line, Nira li lefarish, lefi shahadas ha-Yisraelis. What separates the Jewish religion, midato zulasa, from other religions? Shebedato sacheros ikar adas hu babatei tfilos shalahem. That by other religions, the main place to encounter God, right, is to encounter God in a place of prayer, in a house of prayer. But when I go on vacation, you know, when I'm doing my own thing, Someone said to me recently, with such a sense of pride, he said, I used to spend so much time in my car listening to sports radio, listening to my favorite music station, listening, you know, now you get some... You get some more serious, you know, channels in the car. You can listen to comedy. You can listen to whatever. There's a lot to enjoy. He said recently, a few months ago, I decided, like, ad kan, you know, like, my car is not my personal space to just detach myself from Hashem. Why can't my car be a spiritual place to have an encounter with God? And he decided, I'm going to start listening to Shiurim in the car. And he told me, he said, I can't tell you how many hours and hours and hours of Shiurim I've been able to listen to. Replacing just listening to, like, you know, random New Yorkers call in to talk about, you know, what they think is happening in the NBA, you know, who's going to win the NBA MVP or who's the team to watch in the playoffs. Who cares? Right? He said to me, I have the Wayu Torah app, I have Torah Anytime, I have the Or Ruvain app, I've got like 6 different Torah apps. He hops in the car, he puts on a shir. He says, it's great, it's a game changer. It totally changed his life. Because he decided that just because I went to shul in the morning and had an encounter with Hashem there, it doesn't stop there. So says Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis that the thing that separates Klal Yisrael from some of the other religions of the world is that we don't only have religious experiences in shul. Ach bebeisam uvmaonasam ein makusharim bedas. But these other religions in their house and in their dwelling places, they're not connected to the religion. Vadas ha-Yisraelis ikara babayis mishkavo. But by a Jew, the main place to have an encounter with Hashem is to discover a Kaddish Baruch Hu where? In your home. To have an encounter with a Kaddish Baruch Hu in a person's home. And that's exactly what we're doing on the Seder night. And it began with Jews taking the Egyptian God and saying, this is something that, yes, we can make Avodas Hashem in our bedroom. We can tie it to the post of our bed. Because yes, even that, even what happens in the privacy of one's bedroom is a religious experience. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu is a part of that experience. That's the night of the Seder. We invite Hashem into our homes, and we say, every bit of our home has been prepared for you, Hashem. There's no place that I didn't prepare for you. That's what we do. We check the home. We're searching here, and we're searching there. We want to make sure there's no chametz. There's nothing that's going to make you uncomfortable, Hashem, when you come to visit my home. Every place in my home is chametz-free, is yetzer hara-free. It's a place of holiness. Yaakov Avinu had a son who left home for a long time. Of course, it wasn't by choice, and the name of the son was Yosef Atzav. Yosef was sold by his brothers. In a certain sense, that's really also the origin of Galus Mitzrayim, the machlokas between Yosef and the brothers. And you can imagine how frightened Yaakov was if he even knew Yosef was alive, which there's different opinions whether he sensed that maybe Yosef was alive. He didn't know Yosef was alive. He's mourning the death of Yosef, but he's still hoping that maybe he's somewhere out there. And when Yaakov finds out that Yosef is alive, he finds out in a very interesting way. The Torah says in source number 4, "Vayidabru elav es kol divrei Yosef asher diber aleihem." And when the brothers come back after having an encounter with Yosef, Yosef reveals himself. Ani Yosef, ha'ud avichai, is my father still alive? And they come back, and Yosef sends them with wagons which are laden with all sorts of gifts. Vayar, where it's bolded in source number 4, vayar sa'agalos asher shalach Yosef laseis oso. Yaakov Avinu looks up. What does he see? Wagons. Vatechi ruach Yaakov Avim. And Yaakov is overjoyed. Wow, wagons. What's he so excited about? He sees the good stuff from Mitzrayim, the Tuv Haaretz. What does he see? What's he so excited about? Vayomer Yisrael, Ravod Yosef Benichai. Wow, what unbelievable news. Wagons. Wow, wagons. So excited. I'm going to go visit Yosef before I die. What's he excited about? What's he so excited about the wagons? So Rashi says an interesting explanation. And you have to really be a Yaakov Avinu to see a wagon after 20 years, you know, since you last learned with your Chavrusa to put this together. But Rashi says in source number 5, as Kray Yosef, he understood what Yosef was alluding to with the wagons. Siman Machlo. Yosef was sending Yaakov Avinu a sign. B'maha Yosef Keresh Vimenu. What was the last thing they were learning when they parted ways? Egla Arufa. The parsha of the decapitated calf. If a dead body is found between two cities, and we don't know who's responsible for loss of life, right? So there's a whole parak in Maseches Sota that talks about the Egla Arufa. The Pesukim describe what you do to this poor calf. Okay. Right? So he sees wagons. He sees, agalos. Agalos reminds me of a calf. The last topic I was learning with Yosef in the Torah. And of course, we lived prior to Kabbalah's Torah, but okay. The last topic we learned together was Arufa. And he's so excited to see, well, Yosef is still from. He still learns. Vayaras agalos asher shalach Yosef. V'lo amar asher shalach paro. So he understands these are not Paro's wagons. This is a sign for my son. And he's saying, I'm still thinking about the sugya we were learning, you know, so many years ago, tens of years ago. Okay, that's Rashi. But I once heard an amazing explanation from the Kotzker Rebbe. Everything the Kotzker Rebbe says is amazing because the Kotzker always said things in a very honest and very sharp way. The Kotzker says, imagine the following scenario. Imagine a child who moves away from the parents for a number of years. Yeah. And the parents call up their child one day. The child's living in a different community. Right? Maybe the child went off to college, right? And the child is, doing his thing or her thing. And the parents say, we want to come visit you. It's been a while since we came to visit you, right? So the child says to the parents, I don't want you to schlep to come and visit me. Maybe I'll come visit you. So says the Kotzker Rebbe, why does the child not want the parents to come? Why does the child not want the parents to come visit his home? Right? Because maybe the home is not the type of home that the parents would be proud of. You know, mom and dad are coming to check out your dorm room. You know, like, nah, it's fine. I should come to you. Right? Maybe I'll come to you instead. When Yaakov saw that Yosef was sending wagons, what was Yosef saying to his father? Dad, come to Mitzrayim. Come check out. I know what you think about Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim has a reputation. It was known in Tanakh as Erev HaSa'aretz, a rather unholy place. And I know you suspect that what? That I've probably been negatively influenced in Mitzrayim. I'm sending you the fastest horses. I'm sending you the fastest wagons. I'm happy. You can go. I don't need time to get my house, organized. I don't need to quickly go onto artscroll.com and order some gemaras so that when you show up, it looks like I'm learning. I'm still learning. I'm still from. I've built the type of home that you would be very proud to see. So he sent an express wagon for his father. Come to Mitzrayim. I want you to see what it looks like in Mitzrayim. I want you to see my house in Mitzrayim. That's what we say to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's been a lot of years since we left Mitzrayim. It's been a lot of years since Kabbalah Satorah. So we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here we are, right? 2,000 years since the Beis HaMikdash. More than 3,000 years since we left Mitzrayim. It's been a long time. Hashem, come to our house on the Seder night. See what our Jewish homes look like. And you'll see, Baruch Hashem, they're still authentic Jewish homes. Look how we kashered our homes for Pesach. Look at the stacks of Haggadahs that we have out. Lying around the house, we're preparing some insights to try to inspire our families. Right, look how we all sit together, engaged on this night, focusing on you and only you, to the exclusion of everything else. Right? On all other nights of the year, at our dinner table, we talk about a lot of things. Talk a little politics, talk a little sports, what's going on in school, what's going on in the community. All right, maybe we'll get a little Divrei Torah in here or there. On this night, kulo matzah, kulo Torah, kulo Rabbono Shalom. So we invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our house. And we say, Hashem, we want you to come. We want you to see. We have nothing to hide. We're not embarrassed at all. Let's turn to a letter, an amazing letter, from the year 1939 that the Piazetzner Rebbe wrote to his Hasidim before the Yom Tov of Pesach. It's on page 3, or I guess on page 2. Page 2, side 1. Okay, it looks like this. It says Derech HaMelech on the top of the page. This is a letter from the Piazetzner Rebbe. Hashem should avenge his blood. He died at the hands of the Nazis. Yemach Shemam, Parsha Shmini, Tuf Resh Sadi Tes, 1939. An amazing letter from a Rebbe to his Hasidim in preparation for the Yom Tov of Pesach. Right? It says at the top of the page, Michtav me'admor zatzal shekosav la'anshe shlomenu lefnei chag ha-Pesach. A letter from the Rebbe to try to help his chassidim to understand what it's like to have Hashem visit you at your table, in your house, on the Yom Tov of Pesach. Okay? And if you go away to a hotel, I guess Hashem comes to your hotel room also. That also counts. Comes to your table there also. Okay, so let's take a look. He says in the first line, Eleichem ishim ekra ve'el nishmoseichem adaber. I want to speak to my people, I want to speak to your souls. Yemei ha-Pesach ha-Kadoshim ba'am. The holy and awesome days of Pesach are coming. They're approaching. B'kdushasam osanu mibayis u'michutz yakadishu. And in their sanctity, we will be sanctified inside and out, through and through. Hashem is coming to lift us up, this unbelievable experience. Jump down about six or seven lines to the line that the last word in the line is v'tekaf. V'tekaf kishamagia tfilas ha'erev balayla. Because that's the Rebbe says, when a Jew goes to shul on the night of Pesach, he goes to Maariv. Yismach ha'ish begodos chuso. He's already, he's not at the Seder yet. He just went to Maariv. He's just ushering in the Yontif. But he's already feeling overwhelmed. The Jew feels overwhelmed. Wow, it's Pesach. It's the Yontif of Pesach. V'yachshov ma m'usher ani shezachisi ala shleimus. How lucky I am to have this awesome, this wholesome experience of Pesach. V'alisi ala olam ha'elyon. And I'm about to enter into supernal realms. I'm about to have an out-of-this-world experience. It's true. Let's be honest. A couple hours before Pesach, I may have still been sending those last emails before Yontiv, taking care of a couple of last things at the office, making sure that everything is in order. I have all sorts of worries, he says. A person has worries of the body, of the spirit, of Al-Ata. But now I go to Shul, and it's Leil HaSeder. And I'm ready to sit back and relax, to recline, four cups of wine, many kazesim of matzah. Aval ata es hakol hishlachti mimeni. Right? I burnt those last crumbs of chametz, and now I come into the Seder, and I've thrown away all my worries. Gam es kol haolam, af es asmi pashatati mimeni. I strip myself away from the world. I forget that there's a world that's out there. I forget that life is still going on around me. I'm totally immersed in that experience of sitting at the Seder to such a degree that I'm even detaching myself from myself. It's an out-of-body experience, he says. Hispashtas hagashmi. An out-of-body experience. Ve'ein li'at rak la'amod b'soch ha'machaneh ha'gadol shel malachim ofanim v'chayos ha'kodesh. And now I come to my Seder and I'm just surrounded by angels. I'm completely enveloped by holy angels. Levarech u'lehalel l'shmo ha'gadol. To sit and to sing and to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Legalos ulaheyur sa'or ein sofo yisbarach, gam ba'aretz v'gam bekarav nishmasi v'gufi. And to bring Hashem in to the world, into this world. That Hashem shouldn't be somewhere out there. Hashem shouldn't be somewhere beyond. I was learning with Isaac today. This is Isaac. For those who don't know, this is Isaac. I was learning with Isaac today a piece from the Yismach Yisrael, from the Alexander Rebbe. An amazing piece on Echad Miyodeya. Right, Echad Miyodeya, one of the last songs of the Seder. Echad Miyodeya, who knows one? Echad Ani Yodeya. Yeah, Echad Elokeinu Bashamayim Uva'aretz. So who did he quote from? The Rebbe of Vorki? Rebbe of Vorki. So the Rebbe of Vorki said, what's the pshat? Echad Elokeinu Bashamayim Uva'aretz. He said there are some people who think that Hashem is just in the Shamayim. There's people who have this mistaken notion that God is like somewhere out there, that God doesn't actually enter into our world. It's not true. Who knows one? Who really knows one? Who really knows Hashem? Echad Elokeinu Bashamayim? Uva Aretz. Says the Piyazat Sarebi. On this night, the endless light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to penetrate to the Aretz. V'gam bekarav nishmasi v'gufi. I feel Hashem in my bones. I'm sitting at the Seder. He says a person feels like they just want to burst with joy. And this is just at shul. He says, skip down two more lines. He says, "Va'achar kach shabal seder." When you finally come to the seder, yitzayir lo ata shahu began Eden. You should see yourself as if you're mamish in Gan Eden. Va'asuuda me'ein hasuda shal suda lasid lavohi. You're getting this is Mashiach mamish. This year, you have Shabbos combining with Pesach. The Torah calls Pesach the Yontov of Pesach Shabbos. Mimachras haShabbos. I thought you could say, and I'm sure Sfarim say it, that the Gemara says if the Jewish people would just keep two Shabbosos, Mashiach would come. What's two Shabbosos? When you have Shabbos, which is called Shabbos, and Pesach, which is called Shabbos, combining, it's an unbelievable opportunity for Mashiach. It's mamish, a taste of something beyond this world, completely beyond this world. And then the Piyaz Esther Rebbe goes on a couple lines later, and he says, Malachei Ma'ala Omdim Tzfufim Lahakshav Lirina Seinu. The angels gather around, they're listening to our song. Va'avinu Malkeinu Omeid V'sameach U'misaneg L'kabal Shira Seinu L'til Seinu. And Hashem is standing there listening. Hashem wants to hear the sounds you're going to make during Chag Gadiah. If you like making the animal sounds, Hashem gets nachas from that. You know? You make the dog sound, you make the cat sound, whatever your minhag is. Hashem wants to see you enjoying the Seder. Parents and children and grandparents, halavai, sitting together. And he says five lines from the end. Ka'amur tzrichim lishaer kedusha zu al kol hashana. And the goal, of course, is to make sure that what? That we take Pesach with us. I was thinking, it's a little early for like a nilas hachagvart, but I was thinking today. You know, the chacham at the Seder wants to know everything. So we teach him everything. We teach him A to Z. What's the last halacha? When the chacham says, what is all of this? We answer him, Ein maftir en achar Pesach afi komen. Which really means we teach him everything about Pesach, from the first halacha, all the way through, that after you eat the karm Pesach, we don't eat dessert. Ein maftir en achar Pesach afi komen. Yeah? But I was thinking, maybe you could say, and again, it's a good vart to think about on the way out of Pesach, but the truth is, if you look in the halacha, one of the first halachos, actually in the Shulchan Aruch, when it talks about the Yom Tov, talks about Pesach, it talks about Isruchag. So I saw once the Shilus and Chuma's Rivos Ephraim, Ephraim Greenblatt. He asked, why is that one of the first things? Like, that's after Yom Tov, we have a practice to have Isruchag, to try to hold on to the Yom Tov. Why are you putting that as one of the first halachos in the Shulchan Aruch about the Yom Tov? And the answer is because if you don't realize from the beginning it's going to be over really soon, then you're not gonna soak up the Yom Tov. Realize it's gonna be, before you know it, it's gonna be Yisruchag. All the preparation, we're so busy getting ready for Pesach, before you know it, it's gonna be Yom Tov. Yom Tov's gonna be over. So make sure you hold on to it. But we do hold on to it. Pesach says we have to try to take from Pesach for the whole year. So I thought you could say it like this: Ein maftirin. What's maftir? Haftorah. Haftorah means to what? The haftorah, to take leave of something. So the last halacha of Pesach is Ein Maftirin. We don't let go of Pesach. Ein Maftirin, rather Achar Pesach, even after Pesach, Afikomen. We still hold on to the Afikomen. There's some Jews actually have a segula to actually save a little piece of Afikomen from one year to the next. Some even hang it on their walls, a segula for Parnassus. There's very interesting stories in Minhagim about that. But Ein Maftirin, Achar Pesach, it's still Afikomen. A Jew doesn't let go of Pesach. This is the Amunah for the whole year. So says the Piyaz Esther Rebbe to his Hasidim, Hashem, based on the Zohar, is coming to your house. Hashem is coming to spend time with you. Parents want to get nachas from the kids. Children want to look to their parents to be makabel the Mesorah. Grandparents, children, parents. Hashem says, I'm also a parent. I'm also a grandparent. I also want to be a part of this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the home. And that was the lesson. That was the message. That was the excitement that Yaakov Avinu had when he saw those wagons. He said, wow. Yosef wants to invite me into his house. That's such an encouraging thing for a parent to see. That my child is so comfortable inviting me in. Because my child knows that the home that they've built is a home that I would be proud of. I mentioned in passing very quickly this past Shabbos. So again, I know a couple of people heard it already. But if you turn to the page number two, I guess, the back side of page one. Looks like this. It says in the middle of the right-hand side of the page, Levishas HaKittel B'Leil HaSeder. Okay? Why do we wear a kittel at the Seder? What's with the kittel? So it's very interesting. He describes, this is from the Haggadah of Rav Yisrael Meir Druk, the Chavrus of Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. His Haggadah is called Esh Tamid. So he says, why do we wear a kittel at the Seder? Two very different perspectives on the kittel. He quotes one opinion from the Taz that says that the kittel is supposed to be an expression of cheiros. It's like a royal garment, right? Noble people wear different things. Yeah, people wear, you know, at certain occasions, right? The kala, on the day of her wedding, wears a white dress. Yeah, and at YU graduation, like the people wear those interesting costumes that those chavrus I'm talking about. Okay, so different occasions call for different types of costumes. So one of the costumes that we wear on the night is we wear a kittel. A kittel is a sign of nobility, a sign of cheiros, a sign of malchus. Something different that only the noble class wears. Okay. And then he gives a second pshat that maybe a kittel is supposed to what? It's supposed to temper the simcha. Because the Seder night is such a joyous night, such an exalted night, that a person could lose oneself, could become, you know, so enthralled by the Seder that a person becomes, I don't know, you're drinking a lot of wine also, 4 cups of wine, so we don't want a person to become lightheaded. So you wear a garment which is similar to the burial shrouds, tachriche mesim. So it puts a little bit of a damper on the night to make sure that, you know, that with all the singing and all the fun songs, et cetera, and all the props, right, we make sure that we remind ourselves this is a pretty serious night. We're transmitting Jewish history from one generation to the next, so we don't lose ourselves. So explains Rav Druk on the left-hand side of the page. Right? Two very different perspectives of the kittel. It's a sign of freedom. It's a reminder of the day of death. It kind of puts a dark note over the whole Seder. But he explains so beautifully, you know why we're wearing a kittel when we're sitting at the Seder? As we invite Hashem into our home, look what he says. It's very powerful. He says the left-hand side of the page. Hine adam hayodea umargish shaholech lamus. When a person realizes that we don't live forever, that there comes a time when I'm not going to be able to what? To sit at my with my family, and to sit with my God, the Rabbono Sholem, and to sit here surrounded by mitzvos, and to be able to what? To be able to talk about what makes us Jewish, what makes us proud. When a person realizes that I'm not going to live forever, b'noeg shabaolam shekosev tzava labanov. When a person realizes life doesn't go on forever, so a person writes a last will and testament, and transmits to their children, what are the most important values? What is our home built on? That's what Hashem's looking at. Hashem says, what are you talking about at the Seder? This is your night. You're setting the tone for the whole year. Achodesh Zalachem Rosh Chadashim. What is your mission statement for your family? So all the more so when a person has to reflect that I'm not going to live forever. So what are the values of our home? What makes our home a Jewish home? What types of things are found in our home? What type of conversations take place in our home? So when a person realizes they're not going to live forever, they write a last will and testament. A person writes a will for their child. I want to put into writing a legacy for my family so the next generations can know exactly what I stand for. So says Rav Druk, you know I wear the kittel at the Seder? He says in the second paragraph, Kain hu mamish in yano shochag ha-pesach b'chlal. This is the night where we say what? We define what is our home? What is our family? What are our values? V'leil ha-seder b'prat, more so than any other time, specifically on this night. Anu tzrichem lahavin, sheha'amuna b'borei olam, v'zechira sisiyas mitzrayim, zeo tamsis chayenu. There's no more important conversation to ever have with my child than the conversation that we have through the words of the Haggadah, through the questions that are encouraged at the Seder. Ask whatever you want. I hope to have some answers. I may not have some answers, but that's okay. We're going to talk about it. This is what my life is about. So by wearing the kittel, it reminds a person, this is the night. This is what it's all about. On other nights of the year, okay, you know, I can imagine that Hashem's is not so in my face. But on this night, Hashem is here. And Hashem is listening. Hashem says, come on, tell me, what really matters to you? What's so important to you? You know, this week there were a couple big NBA players who played their last game. People were talking about it a lot. Dwayne Wade played his last game. You know, so I read that one time Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, the Mashgiach from the Mir Yeshiva, saw a group of Bacharim talking, and they looked like they were something serious, some big hak in the Beis Medrash. So Rav Chatzkel walked over and he said, "Bacharim, what are you talking about? What seems that you look like you're agitated about something?" So they said, "Rebbe, a very great baseball player just passed away." Who is he? Who passed away? Babe Ruth just passed away. Chatzkel said, Babe Ruth? Okay. Tell me about Babe Ruth. So he says, tell me, what did they say by the Levi? By Babe Ruth Levi. What did they say by the Levi? So the Talmidim said, but we saw a transcript from the Levi. And people said, obviously, they spoke that he's a great baseball player. But mostly they spoke about, you know, some of the charitable work that he did on the side and, you know, some of the acts of kindness that he performed, some of the smaller things of his life, you know. No one spoke about how many home runs he hit. That wasn't like the focus. At his levaya, at his funeral, they spoke about the good deeds that he did. So Rav Chatzkel smiled and he said, oh, so you see that even a chashuv baseball player, right, at the end of the day, it's not really about how many home runs you hit. No one really cares about that. And even by the levaya of the greatest of the baseball players, they don't even talk about baseball. They talk about mitzvos and ma'isim tovim. So probably makes sense to focus more on that in your lifetime than to focus on baseball. So they told them. Yeah, what's your message to your children? Right? And Hashem is listening. And Hashem brings, again, like the P.S. Esther is quoting from the Zohar, Hashem brings the whole Pamalia Shomala. Hashem brings all of the angelic hosts to come and to listen in. Hashem says, let me see what's important to you. Put on that kittel and pretend, if this was my last chance to convey something, God forbid, but if this was my last chance to share a serious message with my children, what would the conversation sound like? Right? What would it look like? We start the Yom Tov 1 week from tonight. Right? Soon enough, we're going to be sitting by a candle, right? Bedikas Chametz. And we're searching, and we're checking, and we're making sure that what? What am I looking for? I mean, hopefully I cleaned up a lot of the chametz by now. What am I looking for? But I'm checking my home. Bodkin, actually the language of the mission is Bodkin es ha-chametz. It doesn't say look for chametz, it says check the chametz. Try to understand, when you find something in your house that doesn't, this is not, we don't need this in a Jewish home. This is not a value, we don't need this. Maybe it's time to remove, you know, certain things from my home. This is not, if Hashem was actually going to walk through my door right now, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable. Right? I don't know if this is the, you know, that this type of whatever is something that Hashem would feel comfortable spending time in this home. If I was preparing a room, a guest room for Hashem to sleep over, I don't know. You know, maybe certain books or magazines or whatever I'd put away. This is not like something I would feel comfortable if a Kadosh Baruch Hu was visiting my home. Bod Kines HaChametz, make a place for Ashras HaShechina. Allow our home to be the type of place where Kadosh Baruch Hu feels welcome, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to come in to check out our home. Do you think it's by chance? Makos Bechoros. The last, the very last of the Makos. The one where Hashem himself came to perform Makos Bechoros. Aniva lo Malach, Aniva lo Saraf, Aniva lo Hashliach, Kadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo V'atzmo came to Mitzrayim. Do you think it's by chance that the finishing touches of the Makos, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Jews, stay indoors. What's the Pasuk Pshat? The Pasuk says. So the Mashchis is, you know, the destruction's taking place in the streets, and the firstborns of Egypt are dying. You don't want to get caught outside your home. God forbid, you know, you could get damaged, you get harmed, you get killed. Okay. But do you think it's by chance that as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting the finishing touches on the Makos, those final steps before the Geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, everyone stay indoors. Everyone stay home. Pesach is called Shabbos. On Shabbos, we're a little bit more careful about where we travel. We have rules of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Erevin. Al Yetza Ish Mekomo B'Yom HaShabbos. Pesach is called Shabbos. Why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu stay indoors? Because Hashem wanted us to appreciate what a Jewish home is. And Hashem wanted us to realize what it's like when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes again to visit our home. And what a simcha it is for us to invite a Kadosh Baruch Hu into our home. Rav Moshe Leib Sasever was once traveling, and he came to Rav Elie Melech Lezhensk. And the Rebbe of Elie Melech Lezhensk said to Rav Moshe Leib Sasever, Nu, say a shtickle Torah. Say a dvar Torah. So Rav Moshe Leib Sasever thought for a second, and he said, I want to say a Torah on the pasuk that describes the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over our homes. Passover. Right? Pasach al shum shav, Pesach, why is the Yom Tov called Pesach? Al shum shav Pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu al batei avoseinu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu what? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over our homes. So Rav Moshe Leib Sasever said, I'll tell you how I picture the scene. What does it mean Hashem was Pasach al batei avoseinu? Pasach means passing over, right? But when a person is like skipping over something, right? If you see someone skipping, you could also, it looks like they're dancing. So Rav Moshe Leib Sasever said, Hashem wasn't just passing over the Jewish homes. As Hashem was making his way around Mitzrayim, and he passed by a Jewish home, he saw a Jewish home, and he saw that blood on the doorpost, and he looked inside, and he saw Jews having that first Seder, the Seder that we celebrated before we even left Mitzrayim, like the Morei Naim in Parshas Sav describes, their Amunah that they were going out, that they were celebrating their salvation before it even happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't not dance. Pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Abatei Avaseinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu was dancing. Wow, a Yiddish home. A beautiful Jewish home. What a simcha for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to just end with a beautiful letter, just for 2 seconds. If you look at the last page, a letter, an amazing letter from Rav Shimshon Pinkus, from the Nefesh Shimshon in his letters. He said it was a Ben Yeshiva wrote him a letter, and he was asking him advice. He says, you know, Rebbe, I'm trying to grow in my Avodas Hashem, and I'm looking for someone to maybe to visit, someone I can get a bracha from, someone I could talk to, someone to inspire me, a Rebbe, a role model. He wrote to Rav Shimshon Pinkus. He's looking for, you know, who should I go to? Who should I speak to? So Rav Pinkus writes to him. It's about halfway down the line that begins Al-Kain. He says, Al kein ani atein lecha shem uksoivus. I'll give you a name, I'll give you an address. You're looking for someone to talk to, someone to connect to, someone to continue to grow with. She'elav tipanev uhu yazor lecha. Turn to him, he'll be happy to help you. Korim lo, Hashem yisbarach. I have a good address. I have someone who's always happy to come and visit you. He'll come to your house. He makes house calls. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Hu chazak ma'od shebe'emes hu bara hakol. He's very strong. In fact, he created everything. Va'ani yodeya besod, and I know, I've got some insider information, says Rav Pinkus to this Ben Yeshiva. I'll let you in on a secret. You want to hear the secret? Shugam oev oscha ba'ofen ishi. He loves you in a very personal way. I know that he's very into you. He likes you a lot. So invite him to your house. Invite him in. He's happy to spend time for you. He's waiting with longing eyes, hoping that you're going to reach out to him. It's easy to find his address. It's not so hard to meet up with him. Because he's happy to encounter you anywhere and everywhere. Kipshuto. Hi. Okay. Fiery Torah. Knew everyone should have a chag kosher v'sameach. Should be zochet to have Hashem in your homes. Chaim.